And it's good to kick off 2024 with you this morning. I believe, honestly, that 2024 is going to be an incredibly important year. Specifically for the people of God, I believe that 2024 is going to be an important year. But I don't want to assume that 2024 is going to be a better year. If I'm honest, as I sit with the Lord and I listen into what I believe the Lord has for his people, I also overlay that with what I see going on with us culturally, and I believe that it is going to be an important year, but maybe not a better year. So I believe that the people of God are going to have to figure out, what does it look like to fight? What's it look like to fight for the important year that God has for you, for your family, for this church body, for our community, and for his message all around the world? Now, here's the deal. I know that you're a fighter. The question is, are you a good fighter? We all fight. Some of us quietly. Some of us aggressively, some of us passively, some of us physically, right? Like, we've all grown up having to learn how to protect ourselves, and so we fight. And as we look at what is in front of us, my fear is that we're going to look at things like technology advancements, economical situations, the intergenerational or the generational shift that's going to happen this year, the political shifts that are going to take place. As we look at all of those things that are projected for 2024, my fear is that it's going to bring out a fight in us that isn't the fight we were called to fight, or certainly not the way we were meant to fight. I believe this, that what we fight and why we fight should, as Christians, determine how we fight. I've not always been mature enough to be able to, let alone articulate that, to in turn live that out. It was early in Jenny and I's marriage. I'll invite you into our bedroom. I happened to be passed out on my pillow, fast asleep, after what should, I guess, was an argument earlier in the evening. And Jenny couldn't fall asleep on her pillow. She was laying awake over, I guess, what had taken place. I had moved on to sleep and getting ready for the next day. Maybe you've been there. And in the middle of the night, she rolls over and graciously, but very powerfully says, "I'll never win." I jump up out of bed. My heart sinks into my gut. I'm like, is it over? Like, what's going on? And it was in those moments that God was at work in changing my life, Jenny and I's life. What was happening is that we were beginning to recognize that we were fighters. I don't know if your marriage or your relationships have two competitive people in them, competitive, but fight differently. What was happening is what Jenny was articulating deep down in her soul, that Tyler, we fight, but we fight differently, and you fight for blood. Like, you always have to win. And that would put me on a search. And I would use the word to reshape what I fight, why I fight, and how I fight. And it would come after not just an overnight quick argument. These would be a legitimate debates, discussions, wrestlings, where Jenny and I would have to come to the conclusion, if we were going to be who God had called us, intended us to be as a married couple and as parents moving into the future, we were going to have to learn some things about ourselves that needed to die and other things that God needed to awaken within us. And out of that, we would learn something that we were, well, in marriage, called to be on the same team. So if one of us wins and one of us loses, it's really a loss. And what would God design for us in a win-win scenario? I give you that just as an example, because my guess is that you have some examples in your life where you have fought the wrong battle or maybe the right battle in the wrong way. And so what does it look like for us as the church, the people of God, those who are pursuers of God, allegiant to Jesus, to learn how to fight? I believe the Canadian philosopher is onto something. I discovered him several months ago, and this has stuck with me. He says, we become what we behold. We shape our tools, and thereafter, our tools shape us. That was the journey that I had to go on early in marriage, was to figure out what tools was I going to implement in my life that would then shape how I would live the rest of my life. I believe that God has gifted you and I with some tools that we need to use. There's certainly ones individually that we could all work on, but as a collective body of Christ, I believe that God has given four transformational tools that we're going to use over the month of January to help us learn how to fight this important fight that we find ourselves in. For you, for your family, for this church, for the community, and ultimately for any impact we would have as people around the world. I believe that we fight healthy when we learn to fight with God's word. I believe we fight healthy when we learn to fight with God in prayer. I believe that we learn to fight healthy when we fight through fighting for generosity in our lives and through our lives. And I believe that we fight healthy when we fight with a willingness for accountability in our life. Accountability to God and accountability with trusted Christian voices in our life. This morning, we're going to look at this. What does it mean to fight with the Word of God? 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we're going to be in the scriptures this morning. Paul lays this out to a young Timothy. It's on page 1096 in the Bibles that are in the chairs in front of you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. The text says, Paul to Timothy, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion or power or authority. Amen." We become what we behold. Paul's telling Timothy after he charges him, make sure, that's that little doxology at the end of that text, make sure you're beholding, you're setting an intent gaze upon that which you want to become. And for Paul and Timothy, it was, well, I want to be who God has called me to be. I want to walk with God. That's what we behold as Christian people. But I don't want you to miss this. As we walk through this over the next few weeks, this text, each week we're going to just kind of pick a little different parts of it to hopefully walk away more enriched like Timothy would have from being taught by Paul. But don't miss this. This is an intergenerational conversation. As you listen into these dialogues, these conversations, remember, this is Paul, a grown, mature man, trying to say, I want to make sure that I behold the fight that matters most, and the way I'm going to behold the fight that matters most in my latter years of life is to fight for the next generation, and as I fight for them, I'm going to fight with them. And as this is an intergenerational conversation, this is Timothy, who has been fought for as a young man and who has been experienced in the way that he's grown up to the point where he is now able to fight with Paul. This is a conversation between generations of how are we going to do this well together? That's the heartbeat of Madison Park Church. We want to be an intergenerational church body, believing that we all bring something to the fight that matters and we can glean from each other and we are truly better together. Assuming that we can fight healthy rather than fight unhealthy. And so Paul's going to tell Timothy as they walk into this fight, he's going to say, well, why do you fight? Well, you fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because that's what enables you to take hold of the eternal life to which you and I have been called, designed, dreamed for by God. That's why we fight. All the other things going on in the world around us, those are just, well, either opportunities or distractions, maybe a combination of both. And you and I have to decide where our best energies are going. And Paul says to Timothy, we fight the good fight of faith. And so he gives them, well, here's how you do this. Did you notice the verbs as we were reading through there? The amount of action that Paul tells Timothy, together we ought to do these things. The first one he says is, we ought to flee. There's just certain things that if you and I are going to fight the important fights of faith in 2024, we're going to have to flee certain things. Maybe a quick thing is if the culture runs to it, we should run away from it. That might just be a quick litmus test, because as Paul's teaching Timothy what to fight, he's writing to this young man who is in Ephesus trying to encourage a community of believers who lives in a land of opportunity and prosperity, but false teachings have implemented or found them their way into the teachings of the people of God. And people are being distracted by the secular teachings around and just endorsing those in as if they, well, are Christian. And they're not. And so Paul's urging Timothy to flee from all of the things going on in the secular world and make sure you know the teachings of God. He's also talking to Paul or to Timothy about, hey, flee from draining controversies. There's going to be a lot of controversy going on. And he's like, make sure you run away from the ones that are just going to suck the energy out of you, but don't produce helping you or other people take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. He also says, make sure you flee. Flee from the unhealthy behaviors. As you were to read through 1 Timothy, this letter, it's like, flee from the things that mentally are unhealthy, emotionally are unhealthy, physically are unhealthy, because those things make you spiritually unhealthy. He says, flee from those things. He then says, well, pursue. And in this direct text, he gives us exactly what to pursue. He says, pursue righteousness. You ought to pursue right standing with God. And then helps us understand even further what that looks like by pursuing godliness, looking at the character of God and starting to take that on, and faith, walking faithfully with God, doing so in the love of God and out of the love of God. We ought to have a steadfastness to the way that we pursue God and each other in this fight. We ought to have a gentleness. I love this. Paul's telling Timothy, let's go. Let's go. Let's fight. But do you notice this word gentleness? And right on the other side of gentleness, he says, fight. That ought to grab our attentions. What we fight and why we fight as Christians should determine how we fight. He then tells them to fight. Make sure you're fighting the right fight, the fight of the good faith. He then goes on with another action and says, take hold of eternal life. This literally means to make tangible eternal life. And you might be asking, well, what does it mean to make tangible eternal life? Oftentimes when we think of eternal life, our thoughts go to heaven. And when our thoughts go to heaven, we often think about after we die, somewhere out there, there will be perfection, where there's all hope and all healing and none of the destruction that we feel on this earth. But Paul's talking about taking hold of eternal life right there, right then, right here, right now. And he's saying, make this tangible. So how do we do that? Well, Jesus does this in John chapter 17, in one of the most intimate moments in all of Scripture. Jesus, in the full flesh, is united with God in prayer, and he's praying with the Father as he's coming to the place where he knows he's going to the cross, and he's going to ascend back to heaven, and he's going to leave us, his disciples, to fight the good fight of faith. And as he's doing that, he prays for us. And this is what he prays. This is how we take hold of eternal life. He says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. For you and I to make tangible eternal life, it is about knowing God and being known by God. And as we look at these action points, this pursuit, this fight, this take hold of, make tangible, Paul tells Timothy to keep the commandments. We don't keep the commandments so that we can punch our ticket to heaven. Yes, Jesus is our Savior, but according to this text, Jesus is also our Lord. We keep the commandments as Christians because we believe that Jesus isn't the only way. We believe that. We also believe that he's the best way, that his ways are better than our ways, and so we fight in his ways even when we're tempted to fight in our own ways. And so Paul, coming out of a history of the Word of God, in the process of writing the Word of God, tells us that we ought to use this Word of God, this voice from God, to know God and to be known by God. Why do we fight? Don't forget it. We fight the good fight of faith so that we can take hold of the eternal life to which you and I have been called. And we walk in that direction. And if we're honest, if we want the Word of God to do a moving work in us, we need to take action on it. Paul and Timothy had this relationship that would go back and forth, but what would drive their relational connection was God's wisdom and God's discernment throughout history. And I believe that some of us just need to know the Word of God. We just need more knowledge in that reality. That's always been the reality throughout history, is you only do what you know. And so if you don't know God, you probably won't do the things of God. And so even in ancient history, where God was trying to develop his people, Israel, it was important that they knew the Word of God. This was an anthem. It was an ongoing prayer. Everybody would have known the Shema, and I don't think we ought to lose sight of it. It comes in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. Listen to what the people of God should be about. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words I command you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The people of God have always known the importance of knowing God's voice through knowing God's word. And so Paul says this to Timothy. He says, pursue. Pursue. Well, what's he mean by pursue? You see, pursue is actually to participate in. Spiritual life is not a spectator sport, if you haven't figured that out. This is something you and I have been called to participate in. And so I want to, over the next few minutes, give us some very practical ways to gain knowledge in how we walk with God. You'll find this at the guest center as you walk out of here, or on the information wall as you walk out of here, or if you're on social media, you can check it out there. But right here, what you'll find is a sheet of different apps that you have a QR code that'll take you directly to them. I just want to walk you through some of these app icons to help you see for yourself what it might look like to walk into 2024 with more practical ways of not spectating a relationship with God, but participating with God in the eternal life to which he's called you. There's the YouVersion Bible app, and on that, many of you probably already have that on your phone. I think one of the downfalls of us church people is we have access to the Bible, but we don't use the Bible. And so make sure to, on that app, go in there. There's plans, and you can set up a plan that will help you walk through that. A couple years ago, I went through the Tara Lee Cobble, the Bible recap plan, and I think that that's an incredible, great plan for you to consider walking through. Kind of interesting fun fact is Tara Lee Cobble's The Bible Recap is the number one podcast across all podcasts right now. You don't believe that people are hungry or in need of the Word of God? You know what the number two is? The Jason and Kelsey Travis, or the Travis and Jason Kelsey podcast. Take a chance to check that one out. Last year, I went through the Bible Project, read through the Bible in a year, and it provides videos for you. You pick a plan in there that fits you. This year, if I'm honest with you, I'm not going through the whole Bible yet. I just come out of Christmas going, man, I want to sit with Jesus more in the first part of 2024. I just think for me that that's going to be important. And so what I'm doing is I've went in and set up a plan that will allow me to sit in the New Testament teachings between Christmas and Easter of this year, because that just feels what Tyler Myers needs to do. If you look at the Bible Project, that's a great app to put on your phone. The other one that I'll show you is the Dwell app. It's a $40 subscription for the year. You pump that into your phone, and it will give you not only Bible reading plans, but it'll give you different thematic things. The cool part of it is a lot of you don't like to sit in silence. It provides music in the background, and it will guide you through that. The neat thing is, as you find yourself in an angry moment, a bitter moment, a lonely moment, a joyful moment, a celebratory moment, you can go in and click within that app, and it will bring up both music and scriptures that will help lead you and guide you through the Word of God in those emotions that you're experiencing. I think it's going to be a really helpful app. One of the other reasons that I'm slowing down my reading plan for the first half of 2024 and sitting in the teachings of Jesus is because I find I'm a pretty fast-paced dude. And so this Lectio 365 app that you saw up there, I'm going to use in 2024 to help me slow down. It's got a morning prayer and a nightly prayer. And what it's going to force me to do is to wake up in the morning and start with a slow pace and end my night with a slower pace. I think that this app could be a gift to you as well, as it can expand your prayer, as it helps you pray through scripture. It shows you prayers of other people while also giving you moments within that time on the app to articulate the things on your head and in your heart before your God and Savior. There's also the Lectio 365 for families. If you're raising a young family, I would encourage you to check out that app and to see what does it look like for you and I to take serious knowing the Lord our God, the one true God, with all of our heart and with all of our might for the sake of all of our souls. I think we need to gain our knowledge. But as we gain our knowledge, what you'll find God to do is be faithful to you. God will move from you walking toward him, pursuing him, participating with him in his story to the place where he will help you fight. And as you fight, he will give you formation. He'll use the scriptures to actually form you. Listen to what Joshua says, a man who found himself leading with God in this fight. He says this in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Do you notice? As you and I get to know God, God starts to form us. And that which we bury within our heads and our hearts through the scriptures start to become the things of our mouth and our actions. They start shaping how we fight. As day and night, night and day, we listen to God's voice transforming us. Jenny is a fighter. One of the ways she's fighting for our family this year to make sure that we are staying true to what God has for us through his word is for Christmas. She did some research and got our kiddos through the Dwell ministry a subscription. And they're going to drop off once a month a scripture memory card. And it gives you the first letter of each verse or of each word within the verse to help you memorize scripture. And we've taken that, and she's written those letters, that logo, on the chalkboard that sits in our kitchen where our table is. And as we eat supper, we look at that thing, and we say, all right, who's got it quoted? And we're working on putting this night and day, day and night, into our conversations. And what does this verse actually mean? And each month, we're going to get a new verse as a family to work through, to dwell with, so that we can meditate on this stuff. As we begin to pursue knowledge, the Lord starts to form us. It was a couple years ago, God was doing that in our midst with a lady, a wife, a mom of teenage kids. She had decided that she was going to start to get to know the voice of God. And so she started reading through the Bible. And it wasn't long as she was reading through the Bible, she found herself in Proverbs, and she was confused by Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And she found me out in the lobby one morning, and she said, "Tyler, I need to know how to be or who is Lady Wisdom." And you know how you always want to be somebody's savior and just give them the answer right there in that moment? The Spirit came upon me in just a healthy way. It's like, don't give her the answer, because that's not the right way. That's not the process. Show her how to discover that, to be formed in that. So I ran to my office, I grabbed a study Bible, I brought it back to her, and I said, "I think if you read this along with some commentators on it, you will actually not only know who Lady Wisdom is, you might become a Lady of Wisdom." Listen to what she wrote to me this Christmas. She said, "Thank you for going the extra mile instead of blowing me off. I asked you about Lady Wisdom, and as I started to read the Bible, I don't remember much about the conversation, but I remember your actions. You knew exactly what to do. You handed me this study, then introduced me to the Bible Project app. The gift started me on my forever journey with Jesus. God bless." And then listen, this is the important part. She writes this at the end, 1 Corinthians 1:4. "I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus." Formed. Formed into the likeness of God. As we pursue the knowledge of God, he starts shaping us. But it goes beyond that. God doesn't just give us knowledge as we pursue the word. He doesn't just form us. There becomes this beautiful space in your life, if you will take serious the fight that God has for you, with the tool of his word, there will come a place where God starts to use his word to absolutely transform you. The writer of Hebrews says it this way. He says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." All of a sudden, when you and I start seeing God's word for what it is, it's not a to-do thing. It's not something we check off so that we become more spiritually superior. It's actually an invitation to be with God. The God of all creation, the one who sits in unapproachable light, has invited us into his presence through his word, and it is there when we meet with him that we learn that God isn't just for us, that in Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God's word, he is with us. That changes everything. I remember back to the fight that Jenny and I had where she graciously woke me up in life and said, "I'll never win." And what was transformative about that is I thought I was fighting for her. But as I learned, I was actually fighting against her. I would have to learn how to fight for her. But we really turned a corner in our marriage and in our pursuit of Jesus when we actually figured out that we were fighting with each other toward what God had called us to. There's something transformative about when you and I find ourselves in this fight with God, and he gives voice to allowing us to know him and us to be known by him. My guess is that as you look into your 2024, you're going to grab that sheet, QR code those apps, but you're going to wake up in a couple days and you're going to go, "My life's full. I'm doing the best I already knew with what I have, and my life is full. How do I fight for space in this?" Well, that's exactly what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to fight for 2024 to be an important and transformative year for you. The biblical concept for you and I finding margin in our life to change the disciplines of our life, to fight more like God has called us to and less like the world has drawn us into, the biblical concept for that is fasting. Giving up something that we do regularly to pursue a deeper understanding from the Lord. You see, we don't fast as Christians to try to prove our superiority or our strength. We actually fast to do just the opposite, to declare our weakness and our deep need for Jesus as our saving King. And one of the best things we can do is look in our life and say, "I need more of God's word. What space can I fight for that?" Just to give you an example, for me, I'm a fast-paced dude. I wake up in the morning and I get rolling. And well, the tone in which you start your day is probably the tone in which you'll live out your day. And so I'm fasting, grabbing my text messaging and my emailing right as I roll out of bed, even before I brush my teeth, and I'm using Lectio 365 to shape my morning. And I like to listen to sports talk radio and get caught up to decompress long into the night. After all the things are done, I'll turn that on to kind of put me to sleep. And I'm fasting from that to say, you know what? Whatever's going on in the sports world, it'll be what it'll be. And I'm using Lectio 365 to help me slow down with the Lord and reflect more fully on what he would have for me. Maybe it's a meal over lunch. Maybe it's taking an extra 15 minutes at supper table to talk about the things that matter most with your family. You're going to have to fight for this stuff. And fasting is a biblical way to do that. Giving up something you're already doing trusting that God will, in your weakness, transform you into his strength. This morning, we're going to sit in this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And as you sit and ponder the faithfulness of God, can I just encourage you to think about the word of God and the work that it has already done in your life? And maybe commit to what would it look like for the word of God to do a deeper work in your life this year? It was a wise lady. I was a young man. She was, at that time, way old. And she gifted me with this. Little did I know the incredible gift she was giving me. She sat me down and she said, Tyler, you'll never know the power of God until you know and are known through the word of God. I want you to experience God's power in 2024. And, well, what we fight and why we fight should, as Christians, determine how we fight. And I think we should use our power, the Lord's power, to do it in the way of the word.